Go ahead and look in your Bible, please, to Genesis chapter number 18. While you're finding your place, I just want to say that on last Lord's Day, when our pastor asked the preachers of this church to help him out in the pulpit, when I got up on Monday morning, I was in the closet and I asked God, if it be your will, to give me something that might be a help to this church. And while I was praying, he put a thought on my mind that I had already, well, my wife had wrote it down. When we are riding up down the road, a lot of times God will give me a thought and I'll get my wife to write it down. And then I'll place that piece of paper on my desk along with other pieces of paper that I have there. And as I was praying Monday morning, God put that thought on my heart. And when I got through praying, I dug through the papers and I found it. And I began to ask God to put it together. And I hope he has. I talked to Brother Tommy on Friday, I think it might be, that I felt like God had something that might help us. And as soon as I hung the phone up, I said, I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut. I mean, that's all my wife would tell you. I have a problem when I know I have to get in the pulpit, not just here, anywhere. But I want to help you this morning, and I ask you to pray that God will help me to help you. Genesis chapter number 18, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, speaking of Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. And he bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you, your hearts, after that you pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Heavenly Father, I stand here this morning in need of the help of the Holy Spirit. I asked you, Lord, to help me to glorify you here this morning. Help me to help these people. In Jesus' name, amen. It seems like every day we face new problems, things that we eventually find we cannot handle them. Have you ever noticed that in these days that we're living in right now, there are many people, ourselves included, myself included, we get so discouraged and so disheartened and so despondent. It seems we always get bent out of shape. for no reason at all. Now, for the child of God, this ought not to take place because of who our Heavenly Father is. These attacks come from the devil, and they're meant to prevent us from useful service for the Lord. These things fill our minds with doubts, and those doubts hinder us from performing the work of God that He has saved us to do. If the devil can get us discouraged and unsure of ourselves, his work is half done, and our work is brought to a standstill. If we allow Satan to get into our minds and cause us to become discouraged, we have performed two of the greatest sins that we can perform as a child of God. First of all, we've made ourselves helpless with no ability to do what we've been saved to do, and that is to glorify God. Secondly, we have dishonored God by our not believing that our God can and will do all that He has said that He will do. Now let's look closely this morning at this statement that is found in verse number 14, where the Bible says, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And that's what the title of my message is here this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Look closely at that question that's brought before Abraham and Sarah and to us here this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Don't be so quick to judge Abraham and Sarah with their laughing about what God had asked them. How often has God commanded us to do something and we just shrug it off and say, well, that's impossible for us to do? Think about it, and you'll see that it's not so hard to understand why Abraham and Sarah laughed. Humanly speaking, it was impossible for Sarah to have a child. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. Humanly speaking, that was impossible for them to have a child at that age. Brother Doug, what would you do if Gabriel come to you and said, in the time of life, Sister Linda is going to have a child? Would you laugh? Sister Linda, would you laugh? Nothing, don't shrug it off. Nothing's impossible with God. Now, Abraham was the first one to laugh, and then Sarah laughed. But I think God got in the last laugh. And it was at this point in the life of Abraham and Sarah that this question was asked. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Matthew chapter 19, verse number 23, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And if you'll continue reading in your Bible, you'll see that that actually took place just a few verses on in the Word of God, when a rich man did come to be saved by God Almighty. Nothing is impossible with God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, the Bible says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." It has been said, when God wants to do something wonderful, He starts with a difficulty. But when God wants to do something very wonderful, He starts with an impossibility. There is nothing too hard for the Lord, because, first of all, there is no promise too hard for God to fill. If you would take the time to search it out, take your concordance and go through the Bible, I think you'll find that there's over 30,000 promises in the Bible that God has made to His people, and not a single one of those promises has ever failed to be accomplished.
God is the God of the impossible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Paul says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen." 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world." Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" What about Joshua? Moses had just passed off the scene. And now Joshua has taken up the baton. It's his responsibility now to take the children of Israel over into the land of Canaan. But God miraculously allowed them to cross the swollen Jericho, the Jordan River at that time. But when they get across the river, there is Jericho, a city completely surrounded by walls. Walls, they say, were some 13 feet tall. Walls, they say, were some 6 or 8 feet thick at the base. Can't you imagine the thoughts that went through their minds that it was impossible for them to take that city? But as we see, all they had to do was obey God and encircle that city one time every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they went around that city for 7 times, and then they blew the trumpet and shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. There is nothing impossible for God if we'll just be obedient to God. What about Elijah? He was a man who had stood on Mount Carmel and faced 400 prophets of Baal. Elijah, all by himself, faced down that crowd. And Elijah did what God told him to do. However, Jezebel was stirred up. And this man who had faced down 400 prophets began running because of one woman. And he ran off down to the brook. But God, and you got to remember now, this was the beginning of a drought. God had told Elijah had told the people, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. But God sent Elijah down to the brook, and he had water for over a year to drink. And God, in His faithfulness and in His providence, fed Elijah with morsels probably that came from Jezebel's table herself. Brought in the ravens, the crows, and they brought him food every single day and sustained him. Nothing is impossible. God can use anything He wants to use to fulfill His promises. But the brook dried up. And God said, "Elijah, I want you to go down yonder to Zarephath. There's a widow woman down there that's going to take care of you." Now we got to realize now, it hadn't rained for well over a year. I mean, can you imagine what it'd be like here if it hadn't rained for a whole year? When he got down there, here was this widow woman out gathering, the Bible says, 2 sticks. And all she had in the barrel was just one little measure of meal. And the Bible says she was going to fix that. And then they were going to die. I mean, they had come to the end of their rope. And Elijah says, "Fix me first a little morsel." Now, I don't know what passed across her mind at that time, but she did what the man of God said to do. And for the Bible says, for a whole year, every day, there was enough meal in that barrel and enough oil in that cruse to feed 3 people for 365 days. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There's no promise too hard for the Lord to feel. Secondly, there's no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. God loves to answer hard prayers. The Bible records this statement the Lord made to Jeremiah in chapter 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That word mighty, if you have a reference column in your Bible, if you'll look over there, you'll see that that word mighty can be translated as hidden. In other words, what he's saying is, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and hidden things which thou knowest not. But it can also be translated as hard. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and hard things which thou knowest not. It's almost as if God is saying to Jeremiah that what is impossible for man is possible for God. What is impossible for man is right down God's alley. When we find ourselves in impossible situations, God is pleased for us to lay them at His feet because He majors in the impossible. We're often faced in our lives with those things that are totally beyond our ability to handle. This is almost an everyday occurrence for us. Has it ever occurred to you that God may be allowing these things to come into our lives to show us that without God we can do nothing? He's teaching us to rely on Him and not on the arm of the flesh. When we realize our total inability to handle the situations, and if we have placed them at His feet and ask Him to take care of Him, I believe if it were possible for us to see God, we'd see Him smiling from ear to ear when we are obedient to Him and do what He tells us to do. Those things are impossible for us. God delights to handle. I remember I started smoking when I was 13. I smoked my first cigarette when I was about 13, but I didn't really start smoking regular until I was about 16. And if any of you has ever smoked, you know what I'm trying to say. I quit smoking times. But I started back 1,001 times. It was impossible for me to lay down tobacco. I couldn't do it. But on May the 31st, 2006, on Wednesday morning, God saved me coming down the interstate highway. And the next Tuesday night, well, let me go back for a minute. I had quit smoking in 2000. But the way I was able to quit smoking cigarettes was to start dipping Skoal, which was even worse. But the night when God saved me that Wednesday morning, the next Tuesday night, as I left Stone Mountain with a load going to Savannah, Georgia, I had a little leather pouch on my belt that was made for my Skoal. I took that can out, and I got a pinch, and I went to put it in my mouth, and the Lord said, "Do you really want to do that?" I threw it out the window, and I have never, ever touched it again because God took it away from me. Nothing is impossible for God. There's no promise too hard for God to feel. There's no prayer too hard for God to answer. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, quit worrying about tomorrow. You've got enough troubles today for you to take care of or try to take care of. Quit worrying about tomorrow. It seems like life is just one problem after another. We have problems with our finances, don't we? We have problems with our families, don't we? We have problems about the future. Worry,
worry, worry. There may be someone here this morning who's probably so concerned about their problems that they don't even have a clue as to what I'm preaching. I mean, their mind is on their problems. How many times has that happened to us? When our pastor's up here preaching what God has given him to preach, and we're sitting out there thinking about all our problems in our life, it's amazing how far away from the Word of God we can be. There are some things we can take care of. Most things we can't. And it's with those things that we can't take care of that we try to take care of, which causes even more problems to occur in our life. But thank God, there's no problem too hard for the Lord to take Moses for a just think about Moses now for a minute. God sent Moses down to Egypt to deliver his people. And when God got through with Pharaoh and Moses began to lead the people out across the desert, the first thing they come to was the Red Sea. I can imagine they were standing there contemplating what they were going to be, how was they going to be able to get across the Red Sea. And while they were doing this, they looked behind them and here come Pharaoh with his army. And they began to think, we've got to get it. But they couldn't go anywhere. There was a mountain on this side. There was a mountain on that side. The Red Sea, Pharaoh, they could not go anywhere. And God told Moses to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God sent a mighty wind in and just opened up a path across that Red Sea. And they went across there on dry ground. God solved that problem for Moses and the children of Israel. But that wasn't the only problem Moses had. Now, some commentators will tell you that there were probably 1 million people at least that Moses was trying to lead across that. Brother Tommy, you have enough problem with this little flock right here. Can you imagine trying to lead 1,000 people across a desert? What in the world was they going to... this was a desert. A hot, burning desert. How were they going to stay cool? Well, God had this cloud over them. Kept the sun off of them. And if you've ever been in a desert, when the sun goes down, I don't care if it's 100 degrees in the daytime, it's going to get cold at night. How did they stay warm? God had that pillar of fire. God took care of them. How was they going to drink water? Where was they going to find water in the desert? Well, God just told Moses to just go over to that rock and smoke that rock. And out of that rock came water. And you know what the Bible says? That rock followed them, giving them water every single day. They was in that desert. Moses had another problem. They didn't have anything to eat. I'm sure with that many people, after a few days, they ran out of food. But God sent manna down every single day for over 40 years. Nothing is impossible for God. Moses had problems, all right. But Moses also had a God who majored in problems. What about Jesus? He was teaching out in the wilderness, the Bible tells us. And there was a great multitude there listening to him to preach. And it began to get late in the day. And the disciples asked him, said, what in the world are we going to do to feed all of these people? And Jesus said, well, what have you got? And they said, well, we got a few fish. And this little boy over here has got his lunch. His mama's fixed him. It's just a few fish and a few little pieces of bread. And Jesus says, make the people sit down. And Jesus took that little and fed over 5,000 people. Now, in that day and time, there wasn't a Dollar General in every corner like there are now. But God met the need, an impossible need, by taking those few fish and that little bread and feeding that multitude. There's no promise too hard for God to feel There's no prayer too hard for God to answer. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. And then fourthly, there's no place too hard for God to revive. We're always wondering if God is going to send a revival in our time. It seems America as a whole has gone way beyond hope of a revival. It seems that churches have become so worldly that there's no hope for revival. It seems that individuals have gotten so cold and indifferent that there's little hope in reviving them. A national revival, a local revival, an individual revival depends totally on our obedience to what is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people will call upon my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We're so quick to accept the illusion that this world has gone to hell in a handbasket that there just isn't any hope whatsoever of a revival. Why are we so prone to have such a defeatist attitude when our God is the God of the impossible? The world may never have a revival. America may never have another revival. Georgia may not have a revival. And if you get right down to it, the church just may not have a widespread revival. But if you'll get your heart right, if you allow God to revive you, you just might be the spark that's needed to get Welcome Hall in a revival. It's just no place too hard for God to revive. What about Nineveh? A grossly wicked city. But God sent a backslidden preacher with an 8-word sermon, and the whole city repented to God. Nothing is impossible for God. There's no promise too hard for God to feel, no prayer too hard for God to answer, no problem too hard for God to serve, to solve, no place too hard for God to revive. And as I try to close, there's no person too hard for the Lord to save. We all have loved ones we've been praying for and begging God for years. But our prayers and our pleading seem to have no effect. After a while, we even begin to wonder if they will ever be saved. In our discouragement, we often blame God, and we begin to think that our loved ones are beyond the reach of God Himself. However, we've got to remember, God saves when it's the right time for God to save. God brings them. No one has ever been saved, and no one will ever be saved until God brings them to the point where they want to be saved. In our eyes, it may seem impossible, but we have got to remember there is no person too hard to be saved. What about the Apostle Paul? The Bible tells me in Acts chapter number 9 that Paul was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the people of God. The Bible says he was yet. That means for a while now, God had been working on this man, but he was still running from God. He was still fighting against God. He was doing everything he possibly could to disobey God. But God saved the Apostle Paul. The man that was impossible to be saved, God saved him. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." When we get to that place in our lives, we can be saved. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul says, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints." That's where we have got to get for God to say, "What about me? It was impossible for me to be saved as long as I try to save myself." But when God got me in the place He wanted me in, He had no problem saving me. He didn't have any problem saving any one of you. Those that you are praying for, those that you are pleading for, they may be the most vile, blackest, most rotten, hell-deserving sinners this world has ever seen. But they're not too hard for God to save. There is no person too hard, too mean, too far gone that God can't save. Never let an impossible situation intimidate you. Rather, let it motivate you. Let it motivate you to pray more. Let it motivate you to trust more. Let it motivate you to expect more from God. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you are or what you are up against. God can and will hear you if you will just be faithful in pleading and begging for your loved ones. God can and God will save them in His time if He so chooses to do so. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. What are you facing today? What impossible situation have you found yourself in? It's not too hard for God to take care of it. If you're lost, God can save you. If you have a need, God can help you. If you have a broken heart, God can comfort you. If you're lonely, God can love you. And if you have fallen, God can restore you. God is the God of the impossible. I don't normally give an invitation, but I'm going to ask you here this morning, are you facing something in your life that you just cannot handle? If so, bring it down here. Give it to God. Let God handle it. And when you get up and go back to your seat, leave your problems here. Leave them with God. Quit trying to handle them on your own. There's many things in our lives that's impossible. Brother Tony, praise God, there's nothing impossible for Him. Thank you, brother.